The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
How many of you still have presents to open? We've been opening presents every day during Advent. Each Sunday we have come, and I don't know whether you realize it, but we've opened a present as we've looked at what that Advent means. Now, the first Sunday, we opened a present of promises. Promises that were made by the prophets of the Messiah coming. And we read part of this morning. We read from Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." As we go through today, we're going to revisit each of those. We're going to begin by revisiting each of those Advent Sundays, but we're going to do it in song. So the kids are going to lead us in a song that deals with the promises that were made by the prophets. I'm going to ask you to remain standing because we're going to continue to sing. So a promise has been made and a promise has been given. And on that night, that promise is fulfilled. So we celebrate. We talked about the promises that come. In the second week, we opened up another present, and that present was hope. The hope that only comes through Emmanuel, because Emmanuel means God with us. So to celebrate the second Advent, second Sunday of Advent, we are going to celebrate, we remember that by singing, "What Child Is This?" And after we had hope, we opened on the third Sunday of Advent, we opened the present of abounding joy. Abounding joy that comes from this babe in the manger. Joy that we can never have imagined. So in response to that, we are going to sing, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." Then last week, as we lit the last of the purple candles, we celebrated the idea that how our gifts that were given to us, the gift that God gave us, He gives it to us so that we can give our gifts back. See, as there's a lot of different theories, a lot of different history on why we give gifts to each other. And I know that we have a tendency to think it's very commercial. And, you know, my kids are very excited about opening their gifts. But again, like I said earlier, we need to look past the things that we're seeing. Because God, when He came, He stepped down into a material world. He became human flesh. So we celebrate Him with material things. We celebrate Him with gifts. But the greatest gift we were given, He gave it to us so that we could give it back to Him. So let's sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High." I'll let you go and take a seat. Because we have now come to our fifth Sunday in Advent. And there's one more gift under the tree. One more gift to be opened. But, and I know as a child this would have driven me crazy, we do not get to open it yet. You see, this present is different than all the others. It's different. This Advent day is different than all the others. Not just because it happened to fall on Christmas Day. It's because of what we're celebrating, what we're thinking about. Because see, the present that sits under the tree does not look like the others. To some people, that present looks menacing. That present does not look like something you want to open. But to others, some of us, it looks like the greatest present we could ever get. I mean, could you imagine? You look at it and it's like glowing. And we so want to open it. I remember as a kid, I couldn't hardly wait to open presents. And this is, for some of us, that is what this present looks like. Because, and I'm ashamed to admit this, there were times I knew what was in that box before I opened it. Yes, I snuck a peek, as my son tries to do now, so it's payback, I guess. We know what's in that box. We know what's wrapped up in that present. Because we have been told. We have been told what that is. It's the final present. We know what it contains. And what will happen after it opens What's going to happen is this, and we find this in Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 17, tells us what is in that present. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not going to read 17. This is not exactly a picture you think of when you think of Christmas, right? We think of snow and the trees and the Christmas tree and all the presents underneath and the spread of food on the Christmas table. We don't think of this image. Because when we think of Jesus, we think of forgiveness and grace and kindness. Our minds have a hard time grasping the image that John has given us here in Revelation. But this is the last gift we open, the gift of the second advent. The first advent occurred over 2,000 years ago, and the last gift we should want to open is the one that is for the second advent, the second coming of Christ. The story is not complete. The story, the birth in the manger was the beginning of the story. The cross was the middle of the story. And the final story, the ending of the story, which, I don't know about you, but I love books that have a great ending. Don't you hate a book when you read it and it's like, that's a terrible ending? No, this is a great ending. We are told that when this last present is opened, those who don't know Christ will flee to the mountains. And the second coming of Christ is so terrifying that the mountains will flee. The mountains themselves will flee. Now, I don't know about you. I've been to the Appalachian Mountains. I've been to the Rocky Mountains. I've flown over the Andes Mountains. I used to have a friend. I'd say, aren't the Appalachians great? He says, yeah, but. I said, what about the Rockies? Yeah, he says, yeah, but until you've seen the Alps. I'm like, well, I've not been to Europe. But mountains don't seem very movable. But when Christ comes back, what happens is these mountains that seem unmovable say, we're out of here. Run. Go. So much so that the people who don't know Christ cannot hide in them. They can't hide in them. Because see, when we open that last present, the invitation to repentance is closed. The time of forgiveness is over. And now Jesus comes with a sword in his mouth and he pronounces judgment and wrath on the nations. With that final present waiting to be opened, how are we to live? See, that's the major question. How are we to live since that last present has not been opened yet? We don't put it away. It sits there. It should always sit there, showing us, reminding us. How are we to think? What should we be thinking as that final present is waiting there to be opened? The second advent that's so different from all the others. And we find out in 2 Peter 3 what we are supposed to do. He begins the letter by saying, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved, and both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and the Savior through your apostles. See, Peter knew that the people at that time that he was writing to and we get distracted. And we have to be reminded. I hate to pick on Caleb because he's actually in here now. I'm going to be picking on him. Caleb has a hard time remembering to do things. So we have to constantly say, go do this. Everybody's like poking their son. Say, that's you. We have to tell him over and over again. And Peter's saying, I know you want to remember this, but you can't. So I'm going to remind you again. We live in this world that distracts us from living the kind of life we know God wants us to live. Not only that, there's an adversary, Satan himself, who wants us to forget God altogether. I mean, I believe that there's truly an attack, has been in the past, an attack on Christmas. Because it's the one time a year that most people, whether they know it or not, focus on the birth of Christ. And I think society has been trying to defeat it. And I think this year it's been a little better. I see more companies saying Merry Christmas and not worrying about it. But see, I got a question. How many of you woke up this morning and said, hey, I'm awake again. Oh, I'm so glad I'm awake again. Praise God, I'm awake again. I don't know about you. I said, please God, let me go back to sleep again. Right? Are you sitting around eating breakfast and your heart is overflowing with joy and gladness over what God has provided for you? Well, no, we don't do that because we think we deserve things. We think that what we've been given, we deserve it. Because we bought them, right? How many of us during our day suddenly break out in praise and worship and God for our health and how good we feel and what He provides us? I mean, it's not how we're wired normally. We feel entitled and we forget the things that God gets us through. We forget His faithfulness. And so Peter's saying, hey, I know you're going to forget. I'm going to write you again to remind you. And see, time seems to go quicker and quicker as we get older and older. It speeds up and one day melts into another. I mean, it was just Thanksgiving, right? And now all of a sudden it's Christmas. And before we know it, it'll be New Year. And then it'll be Valentine's Day. I'm hitting holidays. I don't know why. And then it'll be spring. And, you know, I'm a gardener and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get my plants ready. You know, it's crazy. Life melts together. Peter's saying, I know you're going to forget. So work at remembering what is coming. We need to be conscious about it. And we must remember. He goes on to say in verse 3, he says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. Well, I'm glad they're going to be coming with what they're called. I mean, I always think that's kind of funny. Scoffers will come with scoffing. Yeah, because they're scoffers. That's what they're going to do. They're going to follow their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of this coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Remember the promises of God. He was faithful. He faithfully sent His Son. Well, understand that He was faithful to Noah, and everything seemed normal up until that point. The day seemed like any other day, and it seemed normal. And all of a sudden, there was the flood. And that same word, that same God that made the flood is also saving creation now for fire. For fire. But people will deny it. They'll mock us. Why? Because they want to pursue their own sinfulness. They convince themselves if there's no God and there's no Jesus, then there's no judge. And I can be content with the way I live because it doesn't matter. They scoff at us that believe the Bible is the Word of God and that shows us how to live. We're surrounded today by scoffers. We must remember that Christ is coming again so that we can be ready when He returns. It's too easy to become complacent. In fact, Jesus said this Himself in Matthew 24. He says, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in these days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. When we get ready to open that present, it's going to seem like any other day. Nothing's going to seem different. The world is going to be spinning out of control. And we'll think it's normal because it's slow. We'll be eating, drinking. People will be getting married. Babies will be born. And then all of a sudden, Jesus will come. And it won't be this quiet little manger scene. It'll be Him ripping the heavens open. I think we will hear them rip. And He will enter with all the might and power of God. This world is falling apart. I know, what a wonderful Christmas message. But I want us to understand that this world may be falling apart, but there is always hope. There is always joy. We're going to sing. You can stay seated. We're going to sing, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Morn," on Christmas Day. And I want you to listen to these words. This song was written during the Civil War. And these words are very poignant. It's something, whenever I sing this song at Christmas time, it reminds me that yes, this world has trouble, but there's hope. On earth, goodwill to men. This was something that the angels told the shepherds, and it came. It was time for peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Spiritually, there will come a time where there will be peace on earth and goodwill towards men, but it'll be after we open the present, because God has a plan. This is the good news of the opening of the present. God has a plan. It says in 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9, it says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you." Thank goodness He's patient towards us. That's one thing I thank Him for every day. Thank you for being patient with me. "He's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." See, we are finite. We live in time. God lives in eternity. To Him, past, present, future are not time. They are places where He is. He's always been. For you and me, 2,000 years seems like a long time. I cannot imagine living as long as Noah did, as long as Methuselah did. I can't imagine 2,000 years. That's a long, long time. 2,000 plus years now. But to Him, it's just a blink. Because He lives in eternity. Time has no meaning for Him. And that's Peter's. He's trying to show us to have faith, to be glad that He is patient enough. But we live in time. Time affects us. You know, what time do we get up in the morning? What time are we going to have dinner? What time are we leaving? What time are we going to get there? Are we there yet? I mean, time drives us, doesn't it? We've created all of us. Who has a watch on? Who has a watch on? All right. It drives you. And if you have a phone, you have a watch on. Because every phone has a watch clock on it. It drives our lives. And Peter's telling us, wait a minute. Remember, God is not driven by a clock. He's outside of time. And He's patient with us. He wishes that no one will perish. He gives everyone a choice and a chance. Many of us, He has given us multiple chances. He gives all of us a choice. He wants us to accept Him. He wants all to be with Him forever. But He wants us to choose it. Hence why we have free will. And I don't have the time to go into free will. Just know, He is not slow. He is patient. Because one day, everything will be made new. Everything. I mean, that new present that you get, oh, don't you love it? It's awesome. But I'm telling you, within 3 weeks, it'll seem old. You get a brand new iPhone. When do you get a new one? New one's coming out in 6 months. Okay? But not with God. Not with everything that He's going to make new. Everything He's going to make new will stay new forever. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed." I want to quickly run through some of these verses. Isaiah 35 tells us that the desert shall bloom with roses. I don't know about you, I've never seen a desert filled with roses. Amos 9:13 says, "The plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the mountains shall produce sweet wine." Isaiah 65 says, "There will be no more sounds of weeping heard on the earth, and the days of God's people shall be like the days of the trees." Wow. The days of God's people will be like the days of the trees. Go out to California and see some of those trees that have been there forever. "On the earth, the lion and the lamb shall lie down together." And Isaiah 11 says, "No one will hurt or destroy anything in all of God's holy mountain, because evil and wickedness will be vanquished into the lake of fire." Habakkuk 2:14 says, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, like the waters cover the seas." This is what is coming when we open that present and when Christ returns. A remade heaven, a remade earth, where there's no longer any sound of weeping, where there's no longer any death and no disease. That is the good news. That is the great news of that last gift that we have to open. So how are we to live? 2 Peter 3:11-12 tells us, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved," everything that we have, all the sufferings we have, everything we have is gone, "what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn." Since all this is going to happen, we need to be alert. Insert your bad joke there. The world needs be alert. The world needs more alerts. It's a bad joke, I know. Ready for Christ's return by living lives that are full of holiness and goodness. I'm gonna share with you. I have it highlighted here. If I have time, and I think I'll have time to share this with you. People try to predict when we're going to open that final gift, don't they? And they're always wrong. Always. Because I believe that it's not a matter of time. It's a matter of how many. You and I are living in a time, what Jesus himself called the time of the Gentiles. Just a second. Last year I caught that on fire. I'm not going to let that happen again. I blew out the Christ candle. That bothers me. We're going to relight him. There we go. And it relit itself. Okay. There we go. We live in the time what's called the time of the Gentiles. The time when the whole gospel has been brought to us. It was first given to the Jews. The Jews did not fully accept Christ. God knew that was going to happen. It's okay. They will one day, by the way. We live in a time of the Gentiles. And it's not a matter of time as far as of 2:02 o'clock on December 4th of 2023, God says, time's up. It's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of the number of people who accept Christ. See, God knows how many of us will be believers. And He knows, He wants everyone to do it, but He knows that not everybody will. But there's a certain number He's looking for. I don't know what that number is. You don't know what that number is. So that is why we need to hasten the coming of Christ. Now, how can you and I hasten the coming of Jesus Christ? By spreading the gospel. That's how it happens. When the gospel is spread to every corner of the world, when every person has an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ and accept Him or not, time's up. That's how we hasten it. That's what we're supposed to do. This is why, as a church, I really feel, and I've talked with the board about this, we need to be really concentrating on what we call our oikos. The people that God has placed in our lives that we can pray for to find Christ or to be stronger in Christ. It doesn't mean that they don't believe. It's just a matter they may have stumbled, maybe be weak at that point in time. It's a matter of numbers. Not a matter of moment, of time. That's why we never will get the time right. Because only God knows what it is. We need to be waiting for His return, living lives that are holy, full of holiness and goodness. If you need to know what that means, it's all right here. If we would just read it, it's there. And we need to hasten it. We need to share the gospel. Hence why Jesus gave us the Great Commission. All right. On this Christmas Day, as we begin to think about 2017, because I've already started thinking about it, I'm sure we all do, and we remember 2016 and all the Christmases that have passed, we need to remember and not forget that Christ will come again. Not as the baby in the manger, but as a conqueror on a white horse. All will go according to God's plan. God has a plan. It will all work according to His plan. And everything will be made new. So may we live lives of holiness, lives where we consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing Joy to the World. Would you pray with me? Father, we praise You. We praise You for all the gifts that are given today, all the presents that are opened, and the joy that comes from them. We praise You for Your Son who was given as the greatest gift and salvation that comes through Him. And Father, we praise You for the gift that we have yet to open. Help us, Father, to live lives that are holy and good as we wait, as we watch. Help us, Father, to hasten Your coming by sharing the gospel with those around us, sharing Your love with them, just talking to them, being good to people, for Your glory, for Your praise. Be with us as we spend time with family today. Help us to show love in so many ways. We praise You, we love You, we thank You. We pray in Your name. Amen. Go in peace. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.